Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I just actually relate to the White Sox. You know, my dad pitched for them from 83 through 87. I think back to my childhood, and it was Chicago. It was catching lightning bugs, going to Comiskey, and it had the yellow paint on all the railings, and I used to sit there as a kid and pick the paint, and I probably ate too much of it. It was the organ. It was the mascots.
Floyd Bannister. Bannister, of course, since the All-Star break, is 4-0. So that left-hander starting to come alive.
Here's the 3-2 pitch. Struck him out, and he got it in a good spot.
And now Vernon Wells not happy with the strike zone, but Brian Bannister is thrilled. Bannister has retired 13 of the last 14.
I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's got a lot to offer as far as pitch design.
I talked with a lot of different people who extol his virtues and say that, you know, he's one of the best guys around. And I think there's great reviews on Brian.
He's been awesome. He pretty much has revolutionized some of the pitchers in our game, especially the guys that sink the ball, the seam shift. I joke, I call him the seam shift god.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That was Eric Fetty who called him that. We like to call him the director of pitching for the White Sox, and it's nice enough to join us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You have in front of you two people who are huge fans of what's gone on with Shane Smith this season. How have you guys gotten him to this place that he's in right now?
Good to be here. You know, Shane is an extremely talented pitcher. It's a great story being undrafted, going through some injury stuff. We just really liked how his fastball performed at AA and AAA last year for the Brewers. And, you know, there were some other interesting ingredients there where he added the changeup, kind of refined it with the seam shift stuff. And he's gone out there and pitched like an all-star, in my opinion. And it's been fun to watch him way outperform compared to your typical Rule 5 pick. But he's a classy guy. He's worked hard. He's come in prepared. And just exciting to watch him every time out, especially what he just did against the Tigers.
Was on my list. What did you identify in Shane Smith? You said how the fastball was performed and then a couple different ingredients. That's a little vague. Come on, what was it? What'd you see? Everybody's wondering what you saw, Bannister and Shane Smith.
You know, it was a group effort. I'll give credit to the whole R&D group, which keeps getting better every day, the stuff we've been doing behind the scenes. But what's interesting is his fastball doesn't ride. You talk about vertical movement or you talk about hop or ride. His fastball doesn't do that. It actually has randomness to it. Sometimes it cuts. Sometimes it backs up. He hides the ball really well. He gets really big extension, similar to a Grant Taylor. So there's just a lot of unique ingredients with his fastball that I think gives hitters fits. And then he can also spin it really well. And he's added that late nasty changeup. And it's become a complete package. And he's electric every time out.
Brian, when it comes to discussing things with pitchers, what's the process for you to figure out how much information you can give them in whatever form it is? Like, some guys clearly want to talk
about what happens statistically. Some guys want to talk feel. Some people want to talk finger pressure. Like, how do you go about figuring out what type of learner you have inside of the pitching infrastructure?
I think we try to identify what their strengths are, because there's a lot of ways to get hitters out, but too much information can almost work against the pitcher. And so we try to bucket it down to, here's what you are, here's what we think you can do really, really well. And we try to give them a lot of information vertically, like in a very narrow space. If you sink the ball, we're going to teach you a lot about sinkers. If you spin the ball really well, we're going to teach you a lot about breaking balls. But we're not going to say everything about everything, because that can just be information overload. And we don't want them thinking too much out there, but we want them being really good at what they do well.
Was there ever a point in your career where that was something that, because you clearly are a pitching geek, and I say that with love, but was there ever a point when you were pitching where you're like, man, I'm not getting what I need, how I need it?
A lot of my career, because when I pitched my first full season with the Royals in 2007, that was the year that PitchFX Sport Vision first came out. And that was the first year we had information on pitching. And I made a lot of mistakes, along with my teammate Zach Greinke, trying to figure some of this stuff out, because there was no handbook on how to use it all. So a lot of my career was actually me stumbling upon good things and also making mistakes on how to use this information. But through that process, I was able to extract a lot of good principles and pass it along to these pitchers who I joke are way better than I was, and save them the trouble and the hassle of making the same mistakes that I did, and just make their career more streamlined and easier, and get them to their ceiling performance-wise as fast as possible.
Oh, man, Zach Greinke. Now, there's a smart guy and a curious guy, and that's what I've heard, you know, asking somebody who knows you, Brian, like, well, hey, what do you love about Brian Bannister? The person said, his curiosity, he's curious about everything. I love that, because the whole pitching universe is insane. Like, people don't know how to keep arms healthy, and it's the most expensive and most valuable thing in the sport, and yet we can't do it. So you must have a passion and a curiosity for what you do. It's not like you know everything. You're still trying to learn everything, aren't you?
Yeah, and we use, you know, we steal it from the software world. We iterate through things. We don't claim to know it all, but we'll take a pitcher and we'll try something for a couple pitches. And we'll see if it's better than what he was doing before. If it's worse, we move on right away. If it's better, we stick with it and keep experimenting with it. But we've had so many pitchers now. There's so much data out there. There's hundreds of millions of pitches that have been captured over the last two decades. So we can really leverage that information and help guys make better decisions faster. But at the same time, we want those happy, fortunate accidents to happen. Similar to a Shane Smith changeup, where all of a sudden it just takes off and it becomes one of the better pitches in the sport. We always want those fun accidents to happen, because we don't want to just bottleneck these guys with what we've done in the past. We always want to let them offer up something new, because their anatomy, their pitching style, the way their hand grips the ball, sometimes there's always unique combinations. And we want to allow that to happen organically.
Brian Bannister is the director of pitching for the Chicago White Sox, and he's on the Spiegel and Holmes show here on The Score. We did some reporting about the R&D department that you referenced earlier in the interview as a highly expanded, you know, analytics realm, now rebranded R&D. Can you tell us about how that department is helping, and if it's integrated into pitching and hitting and minors and majors? Tell us how that's working, because that can be a difficult thing to ramp up inside an organization.
Yes, and just being with my two previous organizations, I had the opportunity to kind of do an A-B test. So here's what I had before, here's where we're at, and kind of just use those experiences to share with the very talented analysts that we had, Chris Getz, Josh Barfield. So kind of the advantage of coming in from another organization or having been in multiple places is you can just share, this is what we had, or this is what we were working on, and able to upgrade workflows and processes. But really, when you came in, we were behind just objectively. We had the talent. It wasn't organized very well. And we have completely done a 180 in that department. And the biggest areas that as an organization we've gotten better at is both our R&D department and what we're doing in Latin America. And so being able to take these talented analysts, organize the data right, clean up the data, build good reports for the coaches, build good systems that make our decisions happen quicker, and then take somebody like myself or Ryan Fuller on the hitting side, my counterpart on the hitting side, and be able to just have great discussions with the coaches, the minor league players, and just kind of build organization-wide systems and processes that make us better and help us make decisions faster that are more accurate.
Are you confident that when a Noah Schultz or a Hagen Smith hits the big leagues, they'll be coached the same way with the same kind of information, delivered the same style that you learned that they best succeed with? Are you comfortable that that consistency will be there?
That's actually the primary goal of what I try to build on the pitching culture side, is I want to empower all the coaches. I want us to use our own internal lingo, our own terminology on what we believe and be confident in that, to collaborate and talk about all those concepts every single day. And whether you have Matt Zaleski, our pitching coordinator, or Kurt Hassler, who's been our bullpen coach at the major league level, Ethan Katz, who I worked alongside with in San Francisco at the major league level, it doesn't matter who is interfacing with one of the pitchers. We're speaking the same language. We're using accurate data, objective data. But really, we're just tailoring it to what they do, how they need to move. And we've grown by leaps and bounds in the last 2 years. And it's one of the things I'm most excited about. We have, you know, one of, if not the cheapest and youngest pitching staffs in Major League Baseball. But these guys keep coming up and contributing. There's upside surprises. That's always one of my metrics for are you operating well as a player development department, is do players surprise to the upside? You have industry consensus evaluations, and do players consistently outperform those expectations? That's when you know you're doing it right, when the players are getting the most out of their ability or even stumbling upon something new that takes them to another level. And that's what's fun. And I think that's when people are enjoying their jobs and looking forward to coming to the ballpark every day because they know they might get better, but they know they're always going to have open, transparent communication. And that's when you start winning ball games and things start trending to the upside.
What's your approach when it comes to whether or not a pitcher needs to just drill down on the things that they do really well versus experimenting? Like, maybe it's a guy with two pitches and you're saying, you know, they could use a changeup or a slider, and here's how we can form that pitch up for them. How do you decide on this is what this guy is and that's what he needs to stick to versus he could be even better if he experiments?
I spend just
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
As much of my time helping pitchers understand their strengths or developing something new as I do taking things away and telling them not to do anything more. Just be really, really good at what you're doing right now. Practice those mechanics. Practice that repeatability and that command. Just be more confident throwing it in any count. A lot of times pitchers always want to add something new, and our goal is to give them an arsenal that will compete and be functional at the major league level. But then beyond that, we just want them to repeat and be as consistent as possible. There is a point where you just keep tinkering too much. And so we spend just as much of our time taking things away from pitchers or telling them, don't keep tinkering. Don't keep trying something new. Just be happy with where you're at and just be better at that. And so it's a balance between the two sides.
Brian, there's an opportunity when the runway's kind of long, when you're a few years away as an organization and the big bus needs to take a big turn, you know? And I'm wondering if you take advantage of that. The pause for Colson Montgomery on the hitting side to go to swing school in Arizona and then go back, and that has had some good effects. And then I saw the pause for biomechanical work for, who was it, Iriarte and Hagen Smith? Is that right? I think it was those two. It was that seemed like a novel concept. Do you guys take advantage? Are you taking advantage of the long runway with some creativity? It's what it seems like.
Yes, we do have new resources. You know, Chris and Jerry have given us really helpful tech. But the big thing is we just want these pitchers to pitch in the style that's best for them. One of the nice things, and I just spent the week with Hagen, we had access to a new lab. He had a great coach in Matt Hobbs at University of Arkansas. They were capturing a lot of data on him when he was at his best, being the national pitcher of the year in college. And so we were able to go back and compare some of the things he was doing with Matt Hobbs and get him back to his best. You know, he has no problem striking people out, but the way he was using his legs, the walk rate was a little higher, and we just identified some things. And we're able to jump in there, compare the data from 2 years ago to now, and clean some stuff up and even make some improvements on top of that. And it was a great week with Hagen. Same with Iriarte. He was getting a little long with his arm stroke, leading some walks. His pitch shapes were off a little bit. We're able to tighten up his arm stroke, get him back to what he was in 2023 with the Padres, the stuff he liked to do then, and the stuff that we saw on the scouting side that we were impressed by. And so, just because the minor league season, kind of that archetype was set up many, many decades ago, doesn't mean that's actually the best way to develop players. If we have the opportunity to use some of our new resources to make these guys better or to identify upgrades or changes quicker, we're going to be a little more proactive. And the agents have been great. The players are on board. It's like, let's get you back to your best so that you can go out and compete at the best version of you. Instead of just kind of doing the every 5 day routine, but struggling a little bit or feeling like something's off, let's just leverage all our resources and get you back out there and get you in the big league sooner rather than later.
White Sox director of pitching Brian Bannister joining us here for a few minutes on Spiegel and Holmes. Let me go to the darker side of that. What are the guardrails that are in place for the psychology of pitchers in a long runway? There might be a lot of people that are inside the White Sox organization that are looking at it and saying, man, you know, the process, it sounds and it looks great. And I might be getting these individual results that are going on, but the team is not getting the results. And we are dealing with human beings. How do you keep the pitchers on task even when the win-loss results at the major league level haven't been there?
You know, the starting rotation has done great. We've admittedly been behind. We have a young bullpen and an experienced bullpen. You look at our run differential, the way we've pitched compared to last year. And last year, we obviously bottomed out from a win-loss perspective. But the goal is to keep trending where we're pitching better, we're hitting better, There's positive developments in all these young players, and we will continue to fill out the roles, particularly in the bullpen, via internal promotions and external acquisitions. So if you look at how we've played this year, we've drastically outperformed 2024, but we haven't been able to close out as many games. We don't have an obvious closer, an obvious eighth inning guy, but we also have identified players both internally, externally, that we'd love to fill those roles as we continue to bring all these players to the surface at the major league level. So when the Hagen Smiths, when the Noah Schultz, the Grant Taylors, the Braden Montgomerys, the Colson Montgomerys, the Bonhamers, the Teals, as all these players start to float to the surface in the next year, it's going to be really fun from a fan perspective to see these talented young players all play together. And it'll also give us, because of our preparation, the way we're making decisions now as a front office, being able to fill in the gaps with players from the outside that'll complement these young players. And so you're going to see a continued trend to the upside as they become our new core and we're able to fill in the gaps externally.
You mentioned Grant Taylor. A lot of people surprised to see him pegged for the bullpen as opposed to starting pitcher where there's more innings. What's the thought?
You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into these decisions. I've seen the obvious reactions from the fan base, social media, the media, and they're all valid. The interesting thing about Grant is when you look at how he pitches and his characteristics, he's very similar to a Tyler Glasnow. He's very similar to a Clase, to a Kenley Jansen, to I don't compare people to Mariano, but he has that kind of flexibility. Mariano is in his own category. But, when you look at the guys in this category, how they're most effective, the types of injuries they tend to have, how they're used the best, you know, Grant releases the ball about 7.5 feet in front of the rubber. So he's out there releasing it where Kenley, Glasnow, all those guys release it. And you've seen the guys that have pitched in a starting role with those types of features, and they tend to be very injury prone, and we've already gone through that with Grant a little bit. So in the short term, we're looking out for his health, for how we can get him to the big leagues and contributing in the best way possible, but not pigeonholing him in a relief role, but also acknowledging that when you compare his pitch metrics, what he can do as a pitcher, it compares with some of the best closers in the world. Short term, he definitely has that kind of upside. And then people, you know, want to compare him to Skeens, et cetera, that have those types of velocities. We are totally open to him continuing to pitch in a starting role. But between managing his workload, dealing with his past injury history, and giving him maximum upside and maximum ability to contribute to the Chicago White Sox and have an outstanding major league career, we made that decision in the short term. And he's electric. I've seen him up close a couple times. It's one of the best arms I've ever seen. And I don't say that lightly because I've been around a lot of good arms. So it's somebody the fans are going to enjoy watching. And we're just trying to do what's best for him.
Brian, before we let you go, obviously the Score has a lot of moms and dads that have young people who play baseball. Some of them are probably on their way to their field or their complex right now. For an amateur arm, what do you think are best practices and things that parents should be looking out for their athlete?
It's a great question, and I consult for a lot of families locally. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so a lot of families reach out on the same topic. And the thing I typically say is make sure you get 6 weeks of throwing in and progressively ramp up your arm before you get off a mound. Kids love to just jump up there and try and throw hard right away. The arm takes time to build up. So make sure, you get some long toss in, that you take it easy. And then the big thing nowadays, just with all the travel ball, which wasn't a thing when I was even in high school, now 25 years ago, kids are playing year round and honestly, they never give their arms a break. So if you zoom out a little bit, look at a bigger macro cycle, build in some downtime for your arm, throughout a calendar year. There's pressure to be at every tournament, every event, every showcase, to always be stepping on the accelerator 100%. But back off, play a different sport, play some soccer, play some basketball, do something else, and you'll stay healthier long term. arm injuries are a part of the sport, especially with what it takes to be a major league pitcher nowadays and just the increasing velocity across the game. You'll never get away from the risk of an arm injury, but you can do your best to prepare your son to just be healthy by making sure he's built up and then building in some downtime every calendar year.
Brian, I declared that the White Sox are turning a corner. What, about a week and a half ago? I'm getting some crap from some of the fans and some colleagues, to be honest. But you're a big part of the reason why. This was really, really informative and really, really great for Sox fans to hear. So thanks for doing it.
No, I appreciate it. Always glad to be here.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.